Hi, this is Paul Hopkins, and I'm speaking to you from Birmingham in the United Kingdom. I've got a really interesting podcast for you, I think, anyway. About 10 years ago, I was fortunate enough to be part of a Rotary exchange. It's actually called a group study exchange. We went from Birmingham, England to Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm proud to say that I've been to America a number of times since this trip. Now, this initial trip was, it's actually 10 years ago, almost to the day, actually. We're nearly, in March the 20th when I record this. I actually went on March the 24th, 96. That was the first time I went to the States. Anyway, whilst we were over there, the point of being there was to, it was a vocational and cultural exchange. So, the cultural aspect of it included loads and loads of stuff, and I'll be putting some of that up as a podcast now that we have such a fantastic medium as podcasting to do these things with. It's brilliant. Basically, this is an interview with the chief, or the then chief, of the Cherokee Indians. He's actually what's known as a chief emeritus now. You're always a chief, basically, once you've been a chief. He'll explain that a little bit more as we get into the interview. I don't think it's dated in any way, really. There's some music on here that I've put on. Basically, it's from freely available non-copywritten music. There are some links to the sites that I've used and explored, and so that you can find out more about the Cherokee Indian Nation. You'll find those at my website, which is www.vipodcasting.com. That's vipodcasting.com. And they'll be sort of, they'll really fundamentally sound seeing tours. I'll do music shows occasionally. There's quite a bit of stuff. I've got about 9 shows up there now. So if you want to go there, then obviously www.vipodcasting.com. If you want to leave audio or written feedback, which I'd love to receive, then please do so at vipodcasting@gmail.com. I hope you enjoy this. And, of course, I would like to extend thanks to Larry for really just doing a great job of hosting all of these podcasts. You know, I'm learning so much, aren't you? It's absolutely fantastic. So thanks, Larry, for that. And enjoy my offering, and I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Why don't I give you a background on the Indian thing, and then any questions y'all have? Is that okay? Is that good for me? Lindy Martin.
Do you have... I take it you would have an Indian name as well, would
Yes,
you?
It's Satachi. It's a Cherokee name, means sweet boy. But not that kind of sweet boy. Sweet boy.
Are you a Cherokee chief?
I am a Cherokee chief.
Through an ancestral
election.
Right.
Election.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that something you hold for life?
No. I held it for 12 years. But I'm emeritus now, but you're always a chief once you are elected. Mm-hmm. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the earliest writings about Indians started in 1540 when De Soto came. De Soto came looking for gold, and he destroyed a lot of Indian people because they didn't understand each other. So anything that happened before 1540, of course, is prehistory. But De Soto brought people who wrote everything he saw. So that was the first time anything had ever been recording, anything in writing about our people. Now, early on, there is no way to tell how many tribes were here when the Europeans started coming. There's just no way to tell. But we do know one thing, that the people were divided into language groupings, which perhaps told us a bit about where they came. There were Siouan-speaking people, Muskogean-speaking people, Iroquois-speaking people, Algonquin-speaking people. And instead of tribes at that time, people were known for their tongue or their language. And so they were scattered all the way through North America, South America. Now, early on, we had historical evidence of the Incas and the Mayans down in South America. But very little was said about the North American Indians until 1540. Now, we know that perhaps some Vikings had come. We know some Welsh had come because we got some blonde hair and blue-eyed Indians out in Kansas.
Yeah. Is that Madoc?
Mandan. Yeah, came with Madoc or Mado.
Right.
Yeah.
And apparently they also had some Welsh language, these Indians.
Completely Welsh. They buried their people the way the Welsh did. I've done a little research on it because they came up the Tennessee River, and we studied them for a bit. Okay, so we're here, and perhaps to show you how the thing works, let me just concentrate on the southeast, because now there are 276 tribes in America. With speaking one of those five languages or a dialect of those languages. So, you know, we'll be here all night if I do that. So let me just cut. Since DeSoto came through here, the word went out that we're going to have to do something because he brought guns and horses, and the Indians had not seen either. They call the guns fire sticks, they call the horses big dogs. And so the very first coming together, the first Confederacy of Indians, started down, and you asked me this morning about Alabama. It originally was Alabamu. It was a Muskogan word. And there was a tribe also, and the Alabamus and the Casadas got together and said, now, the bright eyes that we thought would bring us a better way of life are killing our people. Because DeSoto wiped out one tribe called the Mobilians completely. So the Casadas and the Alabamus got together down, did y'all go to Montgomery?
Yeah.
Down south of Montgomery and started the Creek Confederacy. So therefore they're that in the southeast, the Creeks, that was a big tribe. But they brought together probably 14 tribes. Tribes called the Coosas, the Tuskegee, the Apalachicolas, the Pensacolas. All these tribes came together and formed a new confederacy with a new name because they were all Muskogan-speaking people, so they bound together. Okay, have y'all heard of Mobile?
Yeah.
From Mobile up to Florence, there were more Muskogan people, but they had an entirely different background. Most people feel that the group I'm going to tell you about may have come out of South America. They had the same features. They were excellent farmers, much like the Mayans. Sophisticated people. They named themselves the Choctaws. They brought together probably 10 or 50. Choctaw in the original tongue meant the real people, the real people. They were very agricultural, and when the day a baby was born, they flattened their heads so they could carry baskets. I mean, agriculture was their way of life, and so, but they were known by some people as the flatheads.
How did they do that?
They just every day put a flat surface on the kid's head until they got it flat.
It was soft.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But this tribe had... the northern part didn't. It seems that all over the world, the north and the south is in trouble, whether it's Ireland or in America. But, so the northern group broke off, and they named themselves the Chickasaws. So now we had, instead of about 40 tribes, now we have the makings of three. Chickasaw meant, did I tell you? They left a short while ago, that's what that means. It meant that they left the Choctaw. Then over from this part of the world, south of here, about 40 miles to about 50 miles that way, up through Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, down through Kentucky, Tennessee, back down to here, was the largest land base in America. It was a tribe, my tribe, called the Cherokees. And in the original tongue, it was not Cherokee. The Cherokee were Iroquoian-speaking people. They had come out of the north. If you went to New York, you would find tribes like the Senecas, the Mohawks, the Onondagas, on and on, Oneidas. Their tribes up there. Originally, the Cherokees were part of that, but for some reason they came south, captured everybody that was here, and had the largest land base. They, too, were very agricultural, had the best valleys of the Tennessee Valley and parts of the Mississippi Valley.
What did they grow?
Alabama. They grew corn. They grew tobacco. Yeah. They grew beans, squash, which I don't like even till today.
No,
sweet potatoes. They were very good. Yeah. Okay. Now let me.
On hunting as much as some of the plains did.
They didn't have to, but the state of Kentucky was a Cherokee hunting ground.
Yeah.
In the original tongue, it was Salagi. Salagi. Now, any of you heard about the Cherokee syllabary? Have you heard of that ever? Have you heard the name Sequoia?
Yeah, the tree.
Yeah, well, it was named for a half-breed by the name of Sequoia. His English name was George Guest or George Gist.
Mm-hmm.
But his Indian name was Sequoia. He didn't have any education, so he took letters out of the Bible and out of our newspapers and gave a letter to each sound. There are 86 sounds in our language, the easiest language in the world, and this book I'm going to send you has got that in it, and you can copy it and give it to them. But their name was Salagi. One word you might want to remember that you did learn. We say hello by saying Shio. Shio. I watch you as you go by. There's no word for goodbye because goodbye among the Cherokees means that you're dead. So you don't go around saying goodbye, you're dead. The only greeting is Shio. Shio. S in the syllabary, it's S-I-Y-O. But the S is pronounced Shio.
Mm-hmm.
Word for ski is, there's two words. One's Wado, one is ski. Most Cherokees just say ski when they say thank you. All right, now here's a typical Cherokee community. They were abounded in the townships, and in each town there were seven clans. Much like the clans in Ireland, the clans in Israel, but there were seven of them. Like, for instance, my name is Martin, that's a bird. And people in my clan would have been Martin, Crow, Mockingbird, Eagle, like that, you know. All right. There were clans like the deer, the wolf, the wild potato, the paint, long hair. I don't know where that one came from. I certainly was not in that one. But the clans made up the community, but it was matrilineal, that you could not marry within your own clan. You had to marry in the clan of the woman and become a part of her clan. Now, these seven clans were also not only the family unit protected, hopefully, genealogically, but it was also the political unit. Each clan elected a representative to the tribal council. In the middle of each community was a seven-sided council house. It was like town hall or like your palace. That was where government met. And then elected from those delegates were three chiefs, a war chief, a peace chief, and a principal chief. Now, the principal chief is more just the presider. That's the reason I could live in Alabama and be principal chief of my tribe, because I only had to preside over about four meetings a year. But the peace chief now is replaced by the tribal council, the chairman of the tribal council. But the war chief was a woman. Believed that in the time of war, or when the men were all going hunting, when they did hunt, because Kentucky was the hunting ground of the Cherokee. I don't know why. I guess it's a lot of stuff up there they wanted. But anyway, you never hunted where you farmed. And the woman had seven council women called the beloved women. In any literature you may have read about the early Indian, you may hear of the beloved women. That this is what this group was. There was also, it was communal. Everybody hunted and everybody farmed and put it in a central storehouse. And it also, next to that would have been the ceremonial grounds. Now, we are world famous, as you know, for our ceremonies, our dances. Mm-hmm. You know, every movie, everything depicts, and though it's not predicted correctly, mostly, it was our worship and our celebrations, all wrapped into one. The dances usually told a story of a hunt, or may have told the story of a an animal. One of our famous dances that I still teach children is the snake dance, and you just take everybody by the hand and wobble around through the community. And you know, and the two instruments were drums. There were two kind of drums. One was a tom-tom, which you filled with water to get the tone. The other was just a large drum made from deer skin and the cutout of it. I wish I'd remember to bring it and let you see it. But somebody played the drum. Everything had a beat to the back. And the people sang, you know, everything had a beat to it. And that's one of the fascinating, that's what everybody wants to see, everybody wants to learn to do in America, you know. Okay, well, I know nothing unusual about it except that. But these communities, and this was pretty well true of all the tribes. Now, remembering now, we have 276. We could have had 1,000 originally. You know, I don't know how many of them are amalgamated. I don't know how many come together. But basically, they spoke these languages. From the southeast and go out to the Navajo. That's the largest grouping of Indians. They live out in Arizona and New Mexico. But during the war, they have 142 dialects, and their language has never been written down. Never written. So they were the only people that their code could not be broken by the Germans or the Japanese. They would start the sentence in one dialect, change it midway, change it back, change it to 140, and on the other end was a Navajo who was... Now, the Navajos are still very tribal. They live today much like they lived 500 years ago. There may be a Hogan. They live in Hogans. Might be as big as this... half as big as this room, and have 23 people living in it. they're still... They're still there, yeah. Yeah, they're still out there. Matter of fact, my sister gave her life. I mean, she just retired, but she gave her life working in education for them. So I was very acquainted with that. And as Tom told you this morning, the reason I am acquainted with all the tribes, I have been the advisor for one president for Indians to the White House, President Carter. And then I serve as an Indian agent. And only now, if there's an emergency, I'm sent. And I like that, because they're delightful people. We're delightful people. Remember that. Okay. But in the southeast, all of the land from Virginia down through Florida and all the way over through Tennessee and Kentucky, that was Indian land. So was all the rest of America, but I can tell you how it worked. Okay, the settlers started coming in, and the first Cherokee treaty was the Treaty of Hopewell. Now, while I will paint a lot of pretty pictures for you, the most tragic thing is that a treaty with the Indians has... none of the treaties have ever been honored. It's been a sad thing, you know. But they started coming in. So the first attempt was that the Indians would try to... get along. You know, they're coming and they bring in some better ways, and our people were always fascinated with trinkets, and they like beads, and they like things made of metal, and so one trade-off would bring another trade-off, and we started losing land. And like I said, the first treaty was the Treaty of Hopewell, which ceded some of our land to the settlers.
When was that?
That was about 1700 or somewhere along there.
It's quite late in the century.
Yeah, yeah. So one treaty after another started ceding the lands of the Cherokees, the Creeks, the Choctaws, and the Chickasaws. And finally, these people they took on so many of the ways of the people from Europe, we were called civilized tribes, over against what they thought were the Navajos and the Apaches and all of those they thought they were. Now, included in what's called the Southeastern tribe is also a tribe called the Seminoles, which are basically Florida people. There are still three different reservations in Florida of the Seminoles. Okay, they lived together as peaceful as they could, and finally there was a gold. They thought they had discovered gold in the Lanaga, which is just over the Georgia border from here, and so the people rushed to Washington, and the Cherokees had fought with Jackson against the Creeks at Horseshoe Bend, and had defeated them. I mean, he would have been fighting till now if the Cherokees hadn't come, and they knew how to fight, and so they whipped up on the Creeks. And when Andrew Jackson was elected president, one of his promises was that we'd send the Indians away. And they thought he was a friend because a chief, Junalaska, a Cherokee chief, had saved his life at Horseshoe Bend, had actually taken a bullet for him. Well, Andrew Jackson had the Indian Removal Act passed in 1830. That's how recent it's been. And it was that all the Indians who live east of the Mississippi must go to Oklahoma. Now, while it was happening here, it was also happening all through the West. The new word was reservation. The intention of the government was to let's put them on the deadest land, the sorriest land, out in the deserts, and let them die. So each of the, since I'm just using us over here, each of the tribes had to make a treaty. The Creeks made the treaty of five chiefs, and they were off to Oklahoma. They carried them on boats and wagons and everything else to Oklahoma. Then the Choctaw was a treaty of Dancing Rabbit Creek. The Chickasaw was a treaty of Pontotoc. And the Cherokee said, we're not going. There's a mistake. We saved Andrew Jackson's life. So they started negotiating, and they negotiated till 1830 when an Indian agent came down and got some Cherokees drunk, and they signed the illegal treaty of New Echota. The capital had been moved from Tennessee down to a place called Calhoun, Georgia, and was now named New Echota. The Cherokees thought they would be one of the states. They started electing their people democratically. They had district courts. They had they had a newspaper called the Phoenix that was sent all over the world. Did you know the largest collection of the Phoenix is in London? Mm. Yeah. We had sent them there, and they're preserved even to this day. One column in English, one column in Cherokee. It's at, what's the big museum downtown?
Natural history.
Yeah. And so we got great sympathy from the British because we had fought with the British in the Revolutionary War. Mm-hmm. And we were getting great sympathy for them. But it was a little late then. Okay, well, to make it shorter, some of the Indians did go. But the Cherokees half went, and I told you this morning, half hid in the hills of North Carolina. You couldn't. Till this day, if you wanted to hide there, it would take an atomic bomb to get you out of those mountains. And that's where my people are. My people did not go. They stayed in North Carolina in the hills. And about 30 years later, the government finally decided to give them a reservation. Now, do you understand what a reservation is? A reservation is a plot of land that's reserved for an Indian tribe. They are sovereign. They have been sovereign until a month ago. The Supreme Court ruled against Indian sovereignty 1 month ago over the casino business. You see, in a state, if the state won't won't have a gambling. A reservation can have it. They are sovereign. You know what they want to do. Their trust agreement was that they would pay income tax and they would go to the war. But everything else is decided on the reservation, a sovereign nation. Imagine in America, most people in America, they never realize that we probably got, that we have 278 sovereign nations within the United States. They can do what they want to, have their own police, their own courts, all of that. And that's what a reservation is. And the government said, we'll give you schools, we'll give you roads, and we'll give you medical care. And so here over America, 278 different reservations where the people are basically locked in mentally, not so much. You can leave anytime you want to. But among our people is this cry, even I get caught in it. Why don't you come home? Why don't you come to our schools? Why don't you, you know? But I didn't care to go back because I wanted to be a college professor. And we have a college on our reservation, and I was invited back to be the president, but I didn't marry an Indian, and I didn't really want to go back. It's very, people are very poor and very ignorant. I think the future is to do away with the reservation. See, the people can't own their land. They can stay on it as long as they're a 32nd Indian. That's called quantum. We're the only citizens of America that has to carry a card with a number on it. The American Indian has to show that they are Indian. But
it's going to long term, isn't it? Nature's going to make it merge with the rest of society.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's like anything else. I mean, the English are just the same. Some of us were French or Vikings or whatever. You just eventually merge into the society, etc.
Well, you can't have a separate. The young people, they don't buy all this cultural thing.
No.
My children like to go home and they like to go for the festivals, but they're ready to come back to Birmingham.
Because they've seen the alternative.
Yeah. Right. So basically, that's sort of a history of the Southeast, and this could be applied to. To all 278 tribes. Now, for a long time, there was because the government had taught the people to sort of dislike the Indians. But now, everybody wants to be Indian. I did research over a 20-year period and indicated that 60% of all Alabamians had Indian blood. You met James Balls?
Yeah.
The blonde?
Yeah.
Jane told me tonight she's part Cherokee. Yeah. And I wanted to ask her what part, but if she's blonde. Okay, now you ask the question. Is that enough historical background?
Yeah.
Can I ask? Are the Canadian Indians treated in the same way?
The Canadian Indians do not. They do not have reservations.
I
think they own their own land.
Yeah, because this was the problem with Quebec, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
The Algonquins in the north there. Once the French said we want our own territory,
Yeah. Their
biggest problem was the Indians said, "Ah, well, if you can get your own territory from the Canadian, we can get our territory from you."
Yeah.
You mentioned about the casino. So they're trying to build a casino on a reservation?
They're, most of the casinos in America are on reservations.
Yeah.
Already.
Las Vegas,
yeah? Yeah. It's chilly in here. Also, they can also sell liquor without tax, which means that that liquor that might cost you $6 cost you $2.
Can you tell us about the reservations?
Yeah, you got to go, right? It is not far from here.
But in the going back to the 18th century, the Indians sided either for the French on the one hand, didn't they, or the British on the other.
Yeah.
And you've got tribes working on both sides of that situation then. And the same thing then happened in the
Revolution.
In the wars after that, because that's the Jackson story, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
What happened in the sort of Confederacy War? Did they?
We fought with the Confederacy.
Right. And
We lost every war we fought in.
But it wasn't for lack of intelligence.
No, 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 no. We thought we would get to hold our own. I guess the greatest story about that was my mother has some Powhatan blood in her. And our folks came from down the shores of Virginia. You know, and the first, second colony was down there, the Jamestown colony. And they said that a Powhatan chief saw them get off the boat and they started getting ready for the night. And he said, "Oh, I didn't know y'all were going to spend the night." And that was a mistake.
So, if any person, what physical Indian characteristics do you have? Because looking at you, one wouldn't think of you.
Well, I don't know, because we have a... Our people generally have no facial hair, and lots of... And my brothers, my sister, my father, everybody else has them. I don't know what happened to me.
Because, they, I mean, if they originally came across the land bridge from the east, quite a lot of them have different eyes, certainly, don't they?
Yeah, the Navajos, yeah. And the Sioux. But I think we were here before the ice set. Mm. Yeah, I don't think many could come across that Bering Strait.
No.
Because there is a million years, evidence of a million years ago.
And do you know if there was much movement between North and South America then, early on?
I think a lot of the South Americans came here.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of that. We have what's called the Mississippians, which are mound builders, which are whole lot like...
That's mound builders.
Yeah. Whole lot like the South American people.
You said they have your own culture. Do you also do things like the sand paintings?
Yeah.
Is that quite...
We hold to all the customs, but tragically enough, most of them are commercial.
Mm.
That we make, the most prized possession in America is a Cherokee basket. These ladies still make them like they made them, hundreds of years ago. Or pottery, or all the sun things. Because originally we worshipped Yowah, and we worshipped Yowah through the movement of nature, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Coincidental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yowah and Yahweh.
And Yahweh.
Mm.
Well,
in terms of our English, how we Yahweh and Yahweh.
Yeah, it's two completely different cultures and two advanced.
I suppose as long as the words are the same.
Distant languages, because Yahweh is the old Jewish word.
Hebrew.
Yeah, that's right, it's Hebrew, isn't it?
Yeah, and look at the Hebrews got here, didn't
they? No, they didn't get here.
No.
Maybe we did.
It's coincidental or not, I don't know.
Well, I was surprised to read about Lynn Maddock.
Were you?
Yeah.
That one fascinated me.
Well, it fascinated me because my wife is Welsh, you see.
Yeah. They were here. There's still some of them left with blonde hair and blue eyes. And boy, that blows Americans out because we're supposed to all be very dark.
Is there prejudice towards the Indians, though?
That's what I was saying years ago, but not anymore.
Right.
Everybody wants to be Indian.
Yeah.
It's the most. We actually have some reorganized tribes in Alabama. Yeah. And I bet you there is not a...
But do the Indians do what, for example, Muslims do when they get outside their own country? Tend to preserve their culture and therefore, in a sense, intensify that culture rather than lose it?
Once they move off the reservation... They forget it.
No, if they stay on the reservation.
If they stay on the reservation, they hold to it.
Yeah.
So they teach all the culture in the schools, colleges.
Yeah. And the language. But it's more a thing that the older people want them to do. The young people are not interested in that.
So quite a few young people rebel and move on.
Yeah, move on.
The reservations are sort of Asian communities.
Mm-hmm.
Can you buy books in the
Because
that's interesting. Once the print goes and the language goes.
Oh, no.
Because if you want to read something, then you have to read it in English.
Yeah.
I heard a thing, somebody said that the federal, you know, the, from a government point of view, that the Indians were still, you know, they were the low end of the sort of poverty wise, you know, that they were kind of, there was no real attempt to invest anything in order to give Indians more equal status. What's the situation from a government point? You've mentioned, obviously, from a people point of view, that, you know, amongst the public, then, that there isn't so much of an issue of race. But what about from a governmental?
The government pretty well holds on to. Thank you for cutting that down. I'm freezing.
It's going the other way, it gets warm, I think.
Oh, it does?
We haven't found out how to work this thing yet.
It needs to be on heat.
Yeah.
And on 70.
70.
And automatic. It's got to be on automatic.
We're going to stand it all night, and we'll all suffer.
That'll do.
The government, until recently, you all know about the Republicans.
Yeah.
The Democrats are pro-Indian, the Republicans are anti.
Yeah.
They think we don't, you know. But the government has de-emphasized Indians as Native Americans because of so many other groups that have asked for special privileges. And I don't...
African-American.
I don't want any privilege. My kids, see, my children could go to school free, but I chose to send them. I don't want them to ever become dependent on that government.
It's not a charity, is it?
Yeah. I don't want them to do that. We have five, and we've sent them through university.
So were you brought up with us?
I stayed until I finished the Indian University. And I was offered a... I'm a psychologist.
Yeah.
My first training was psychology and then religion. Mm-hmm. I have a doctorate in psychology and one in religion. But I came to Auburn to teach.
Right.
I was offered a job on the faculty in 1953.
So,
and I never went back. And after I was there 5 years and finished my doctorate, I came to Sanford.
That's a lovely spot, isn't it? Sanford's a lovely campus.
Oh, it's one of the prettiest in the world.
How do you find that you're... So you said you're a Southern Baptist minister, so how do you find that your Christian belief, presumably, ties in with your Indian either religion or whatever that or belief or culture or I mean obviously religion and culture are sort of easier but religion but you know one deity and another would be more difficult. So what's the situation there?
Well, when Christianity came from Europe, the easiest converts ever to Christianity, the Native Americans were because it seemed that they had a name to put with what they believed. And there was no conflict between...
Like the Greeks worshipping the unknown God sort of thing. When Paul went to, I don't think it was Athens or whatever.
Athens, yeah. He got naked.
And he found...
Because they said, look, I'm a mortal man.
Well, he had to, didn't he? Because they all thought, it was a God, but he was saying, you know, the unknown God concept. You
yes.
know, that they worshipped this God, and they said, we haven't got a name for him. And they said, he said, the God you're talking about is like, Jesus. I'm just talking about Christianity. So is it that concept?
Yeah,
it's
the same thing.
But
yeah.
It was a single God that you worshipped. It wasn't multiple.
Yeah, it emerged into a single God.
Yeah.
Because each tribe worshipped something different.
Yeah.
Looked at the mountaintop, the moon, the sun.
But it was only one.
Only one. Only one. Always only one.
Yeah, so it was easier to turn that concept of one into...
Yeah, because one tribe, several large tribes out west, believed in the wind. And you know, and they read from the New Testament that God's Spirit moved like the wind on the earth. And they said, hey, there he is, we've looked for this.
With all the separate tribes, were there territories bordering on each other? So would they fight amongst themselves?
Yes. In the middle of the Navajo Reservation, the Hopis live. And they've been fighting for 500 years.
So if you were saying the Cherokees fought against the Creeks, would the Creeks fight against the Chickasaws? Or?
We fought on them because we were forced into that fight. There was no fight there was 100 miles between the Cherokees and the Creeks, but they actually, Sam Houston got us into it. He was a big friend of the Cherokees, and he was a big buddy with Andrew Jackson. It was political. The Cherokees wanted to be one of the colonies.
So it was a bribery situation.
Yeah.
And did they fight using weapons?
Yeah, they had bows and arrows and spears. But most Indian wars were shams.
Yeah.
They really didn't kill each other much. It was protecting the... You see, originally there would be here's a tribe, and there had to be 50 miles to the next one. And this was called neutral territory or hunting ground, and even it was called sacred ground. And sometimes this tribe would get over here too far, and this tribe would come out and they would just rattle the sables. Really wasn't there. We talk about Indian War. When you talk about Indian Wars, you're talking about the Indian fighting with the British or the French or the Spaniards.
The Indians would really kill each other too much. I'm
It was too far. They couldn't go 50 miles to fight.
Yeah.
They'd run out of food.
But it's the same situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's when their food area wasn't sufficient for them, or they couldn't grow enough, then they looked to extend their territory. Once they do that, they tread on somebody else's territory.
If they were so kind of a tight-knit community within themselves, there wouldn't have been any reason to fight anyone else, really, would there?
No, there was plenty of land, gosh.
Yeah.
Why was the 7 unit important?
I've studied that. I've gone back, but particularly to Hebrew or to the...
I was going to say, because that's the Christian, the perfect number, isn't it?
Perfect.
The perfect number.
Complete. Yeah. 12 is... 12 is perfect.
And 12 significant as well.
And 7 is complete.
Yeah, that's right.
Because when a larger council than the village council met, was the bigger council composed of 7 villages as well?
They were composed of all the villages.
All the villages.
They met in Echota. Mm. And there was a chief over all the Cherokees.
Yeah. I just wonder whether the number 7 was extended to...
No, it didn't. It was... It was just a local thing.
Is there anything else as the president?
Just I think to finish off, it'd be good if you can do some more chanting that you did earlier.